Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on TMS, a dramedy. That's a camel, right?
Up your nose with a glowy hose.
It's National Airbender Day.
I say keep the damn ottoman.
Does that letter give good lumbar support?
Are space orcs sporks?
Handsome, bald, and famous.
The Michelin man made us dinner and he still has fat rolly arms.
Hot cockles.
You can't see my fingers at home.
Take the turkey in the other room.
I can eat 11 nails and fart the longest.
Poor neglected Hamilton.
It doth was not Jennifer.
Just a saber with Bill.
Why, the last Stephen, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
How'd you do that?
I can't tell you.
Why not?
Magicians can't tell secrets.
Why not?
Anyway, I gotta go practice some more.
I wouldn't eat a box of cream discs.
The Morning Stream. Why did I take the blue pill?
Why indeed. Hey everybody, welcome back to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for Monday, the 20th of September, 2021. Ooh, we got a 9-20-20-21.
Ooh, 20 more hours to go. I want to be sedated.
Nice. Yeah, I guess every month we'll have a 20 in it, and yeah. It's dumb for me to keep bringing it up, so I'll stop doing that now.
Hey, look, next year, though, on February 22nd, we do get a 2-22-22.
Yeah, we should celebrate that.
That should be good. That'll be good.
What do you want to do that day that's special? Anything?
Let's have tacos because it'll be a Taco Tuesday.
Oh, I see. Okay, I'm in.
Oh, yeah, Dice Tomato. Tomorrow is Earth, Wind, and Fire Day.
What?
Do you remember?
Really?
The 21st night of September.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah.
So it's National Airbender Day is what you're saying. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Got it. Okay.
Oh, there you go. Yes, exactly.
So wait, is that true? There's a day named after the band Earth, Wind, and Fire? Is that true?
Did you hear what I just sang?
No. Yeah, you sang the song. Oh, because that's the... But we don't call that Earth, Wind, and Fire Day, do we? Or is that official? Or do we just, we're just saying that? Because that's...
Well, I mean, what are we going to call it? September?
I don't know. It's,
that's the name of the song.
Most covered song of all time, Ember?
No, it's definitely not. Oh. Yesterday is the most covered. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, Yesterday by the Beatles is the most covered song of all time. I question that. I think that's something that somebody made up, and I don't buy it. In my library, I Fought the Law and In Your Eyes are the most covered songs.
I Fought the Law and the Law won that one. That song? Yeah. Why is that so heavily covered? What a weird one.
It's been around for a long time. It's a very, very easy chord progression and lyrics also pretty easy to remember. Wow. It's like you pick up a guitar, and if you're not trying to figure out the opening lick to Stairway to Heaven, you're like, jing, 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 and you just go right into breaking rocks in the hot sun. I fought the law and the law won.
Okay, well, I take your word for it more than most because you know a lot of covers. So,
yeah.
Yesterday, I'm sure, is no slouch. I'm sure it's up there.
But, it's up there, but I really don't have that many covers of it. I don't really have that many good covers of it.
Oh, that reminds me. I meant to ask last week. Yeah. While you were in Ireland, did you see anything to do with the Guinness Book of World Records, which is based on the beer people?
Oh, right.
Yeah. Did you see any of that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, no. No, I didn't. We went to the Guinness storehouse and took the Guinness tour.
Yeah.
No mention, even in the Guinness storehouse, no mention of the Guinness Book of World Records.
Really? Not even like here in the gift shop, like there's a copy
of
the
we're related, tangentially related to the Guinness Book of World Records. No, none of that.
Weird. Because that is the source of it all. Maybe they're embarrassed by it now. It is the source of it.
And they have a huge gift shop, big.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring back some glasses because I really do like the shape of Guinness glasses that you get directly from them. It's not just the narrow at the bottom, then gets wider at the top.
Yeah.
They've got little indentations on the bottom, like little grippy indentations that are like, oh, that's kind of fun to hold. It's a fun glass to hold. Yeah. It still does the bottom to the top, getting wider, but it's kind of like a Coke glass, like the famous
Coke style glasses. I like a good curvy bottle. I'm a fan, or glass rather. Okay, well, that's interesting. This brought up another thought. I was watching a cooking show with Kim, and she loves that stuff. Sure. One of these Stanley Tucci things or something. And
Great Night? No, what was the name of that Stanley Tucci movie?
It's an actual. He does a documentary on food on HBO Max now.
I
forgot the name.
Oh, right, I saw that. Yes,
but he's sort of Anthony Bourdaining around the world talking to Italian.
Oh, cool.
This and
wow,
that.
So how did he get that gig?
Yeah,
damn.
Well, you got to be a handsome bald. Oh, we're almost there. What else? Do you
So far, so good.
You got to be a famous. Are you a famous, well known actor who've been around working for decades?
Oh no, I'm not.
Well, then you're out. But anyway, can you speak Italian? Italian is the other thing because that guy talks Italian.
Oh
anyway.
No, he can't speak any languages.
Pain.
I barely speak this one.
Well, anyway, he's walking around and they're talking about Michelin stars and the fanciest restaurants. And when I hear that now ever since learning that the Michelin star thing is from the Michelin tire people, it seems less cool. You know what I mean? It's like this French restaurant seems less cool though, because think of it. It's like here at La Ferente Hooha, we have only the finest five Michelin star dining blah blah blah. And I'm like, okay, that sounds great, but freaking Michelin, the Michelin man, did he show up with all his tires on him, all his roly fat white things, and go, here you go, you're a Michelin star person? Like, it just makes it seem cheaper.
Welcome to the awards ceremony for excellence in podcasting, brought to you by PopSockets.
But you know what I mean? It's so revered.
I get it. No, I totally know what you mean. In my opinion, the Michelin star name is the big entity, and the Michelin tires now is the sub, as opposed to it being the other way around.
Yeah, I guess. So I mean, that is what happened.
Oh, that new restaurant, or that restaurant, that chef that's opened up a new restaurant in Denver has two Michelin stars from other restaurants. Oh, we got to go there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. By the way, they also make tires.
Yeah, but imagine if it said, you got three Chevy stars at your restaurant, or you got. No, it just sounds dumb. It just sounds dumb. Yeah.
Discount tire company sponsored that great restaurant or awarded that great restaurant?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me.
I get you.
But it's a long. I understand that it's also a long-standing thing, and that it was established at a time where no other sort of measuring stick existed, and it did have a high standard. And I get it. But
Claire brings up a very funny thing. I'm gonna piggyback off of her joke and kind of like, what if at the Guinness Storehouse tour in Dublin, the only people who could serve you your stout at the end of the tour are people who are in the Guinness Book of World Records for something.
That'd be great.
So it's like, the guy who can swallow 11 nails, or who can fart the longest, or something like that.
Yeah. Well, you don't want that guy handing you your beer, though.
Probably don't. Maybe not that guy.
What about the guy? Oh, this guy's had post-nasal drip for 14 years. You don't want that guy.
That guy, right. Exactly. Yes. Yeah,
none of them. They want to be the tall guy, or the short guy, or the...
Sure. Yes, exactly.
The guy with the most, I don't know.
The woman who's birthed the most children. Get her out of the house for a little bit. Get her away from that husband and get her serving stouts.
I wonder who holds the record for that, and I wonder how they feel. Like, do their guts just fall out of them every day, or like, how's that go? Let's see.
She's probably one of those TV things, right? Like, what was that family that had all the kids? They were like it was like a sort of a reality show, a recent reality show, and they calculated that she's been pregnant for 90% of her life or something.
Oh my gosh.
Or 90% of her life since turning 18. The Duggars, is that it? The Duggars.
The Duggars?
I think that's it, yeah.
Okay. Hadn't heard of that. Okay, here, I found her. Here it is on the Guinness Book of World Records site.
Who is it?
Mrs. Valaveva. I can't say her name right. She is a Russian.
Volvazilla.
Volvazilla. Probably that. 69 kids. How is that possible? Hold on a second. Oh, no.
When she got to 69, she'd say, that's enough.
Okay, 27 births, 69 children, second wife, 8 births, 18 children. What does that mean, 8 births, 18 children?
Oh, gotcha. So she's had 8 births, but they were all multiples.
Oh.
Or not, maybe not all multiples, but like had quintuplets or quadruplets or something.
Right,
like that.
I think you're right.
I didn't even think about that being a way to kind of really buck the system and work your way into the Guinness Book of World Records is having multiples.
Yeah, no kidding. And she lived to... Yeah. I got it. She lived to 76. That's pretty good for a lady who's been just shitting them out for her whole life.
Right. Well, you know, 8 births. There are people who have way more births but way fewer kids. So she did it right. She worked smarter, mm-hmm. not harder.
There you go.
She had 8 extremely unpleasant days.
Yeah.
But
she had the most efficient uterus on the planet. My gosh.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Get more it's done with less time.
That's like the Henry Ford of of pregnancies.
That sounds about right. So I have we had Emmys yesterday. I don't know if you're familiar with the Emmys, but they're a thing. They go on every year.
They are. They were a thing. And the big winner of the night for me.
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien.
Oh, I keep hearing he did something funny, but I didn't watch. So what'd he do?
He Conan bombed. I mean, I don't know if that's a new hashtag today. It should be though. He Conan bombed the Emmys for the entire night. And I don't mean he bombed. I mean, he like did the equivalent of photobombing. When the president of the Academy of TV Arts and Sciences or something mm-hmm. was announced, and everybody's like, oh, this is a good time to go to the bathroom. Conan stood up, cheered like it was like Jesus Christ was coming out on stage.
Oh, man.
And saluted, and the whole... Like it threw the guy off. He had this whole speech about, the Academy of TV Arts and Scientists or Sciences or blah, 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 blah. And Conan was clapping and cheering and cracking the whole audience up. And then he actually got up with pretended to be part of Stephen Colbert's team when Stephen Colbert went up to accept his Emmy for a live show or something.
Well, who hosted? Was it? Did anyone host? Who hosted this thing?
Yes. Sorry, I dropped my pen. Cedric the Entertainer hosted.
What? Really?
Yes, Cedric the Entertainer.
Hey, late 90s. What's going on?
Hey, he's currently on that new show with Schmidt from New Girl.
Yeah? Okay.
I don't know what it's called.
It's like a weird pick to me. I don't know why. It's fine.
It was kind of a weird pick, but he was all right. There was one, like they kept some of the skits to a minimum. There was one where they superimposed him in the water in Florida when Brady was hucking the Heisman Trophy to Gronk or Beck or whoever it was, and it dropped into the water, and they superimposed him there. And, but then they also did a skit with never won an Emmy, like a support group for people who've never won an Emmy. And you had Scott Bakula, Jason Alexander, Zooey Deschanel.
Jason Alexander. Amazing.
Jason Alexander.
Yeah.
Listen, I was nominated 8 times for Costanza. I can't remember who else was in that skit, but it was actually, it was pretty funny.
Hold on, was Bakula nominated a bunch of times and never won?
Is that the deal?
I don't think Bakula, I don't know how many times he's been nominated. Oh, Allison Hannigan. That's right. She was the other one. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know how many times Bakula has been nominated, but...
he must have been, right? He was nominated.
It wasn't like we've been nominated a bunch of times. It was like we've been around in the business a long time. But Jason Alexander was pushing the whole, like, I've been nominated a bunch of times.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, because he was definitely nominated. He just never could seem to eco win out of that thing.
Right.
Wow. All right. Well, it sounds like I may have missed a little bit of fun there. I don't know. Hollywood
fun. That part was fun. The two things that were the best were the Conan O'Brien constant jumping around and getting attention. And what else? I mean, that skit was pretty good. Yeah.
I'll rip through the winners. And we can just
let's rip through the winners. We can talk about it.
So, the big winner of the night really is that Queen's Gambit. Sorry, the Queen. The Queen did real good.
The Crown.
I meant the Crown.
The Crown's Gambit.
That's what I meant. The Crown's Gambit. The Queen Crown's Gambit. That all went real well. Took away what, 8? Hold on, I had it written down.
Yeah.
Seven honors really well. For that. Apple TV Plus's Ted Lasso claimed 4, while HBO Max's Hacks and HBO's Mayor of Easttown both picked up 3 each.
Also it was a great night for the Brits, right? Yeah. Kate Winslet and The Crown and Queen's Gambit. I guess Anya Taylor-Joy, is she British? I think she is.
I don't know what she is. She's the Vavitch.
She's alien is what she is.
Yeah, she's the Vavitch with the 2 V's.
She's the Vavitch, yes.
Let's see. Okay, so limited series, the Queen's Gambit won overall, and I think that's a real tight race. I think Mare of Easttown was probably the best thing I saw all year, so it's hard for me to...
It's further emphasis that if you haven't watched Hacks yet, you need to watch it because it is so good. Jean Smart is brilliant.
She's smart and good. I like her a lot.
She's smart, that Jean Smart.
Man, look at how all these... I don't know if you've noticed all of these categories where all these nominations happen.
Yeah.
90% of these are streaming.
Yeah.
5% of them are cable, and the paltry leftovers are regular television. Regular TV barely does shit anymore. Like what do we even have those networks for? Yeah. What are you doing?
I know. It's like This Is Us, I think, was the only thing I remember. Oh, Black-ish got nominated as well. But yeah, so few things.
Blackish.
So few things. Everything else is is either streaming. And it's funny because they have different categories or different definitions for HBO versus HBO Max. There's stuff you can see on HBO, but not see, or I'm sorry, HBO Max that you can't see on HBO.
That's true.
If you have it.
Yeah, if you're just watching
HBO. It's kind of funny to me that HBO, like, you can still get a cable, pay for cable, and... you have to wait until your show is on HBO to watch it.
Yeah. But you do get, don't you get Max as part of HBO if you have HBO?
I think so. Yeah.
So, but it's still weird, right? That's weird.
It is weird, right? Because there's, you know.
That's very weird.
We can't, right? Because we need news. I was going to say, let's just get rid of terrestrial and make it all streaming. But I guess we do need our news and our sports. And
yeah, but also there's no reason why network TV couldn't get back to making really great quality stuff. They just aren't. Start doing it.
Yeah, it feels like they just have more restrictions.
I think they gave up. And a lot of them already own all this other shit anyway. I mean, FX is a Fox network, which is now a Disney network, which, you know, everybody owns everything now. But like, you know, they're doing their best work in places that aren't, like, even I would even argue Peacock has cooler stuff upcoming than NBC puts out on the air.
Without a doubt.
We're living in a weird time, you guys.
We are.
Let's see. The Crown won for drama series. So not the Queen, the Crown, not the Queen's Gambit. The Crown is a different deal. they beat out The Boys, Bridgerton, Handmaid's Love, excuse me, Lovecraft Country, The Mandalorian, Pose, and This Is Us. Let's see, comedy series, Ted Lasso from Apple TV Plus. That seemed like if that wasn't going to win, then we were all doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right. To have Ted Lasso get nominated in so many different areas and then...
yeah. And how do you have on that list is Cobra Kai? How are they a comedy? Are they a comedy?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
They're not
dramedy.
They're dramedy. Yeah.
Okay. I hate that term dramedy, but I'll say it anyway.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, you could argue that you know, The Boys is as comedic as Cobra Kai, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's more sardonic, but you're right.
Yes, right, in a sardonic way, or a sardonic is good.
Yeah, really put or maybe even what's the word?
There's another word for that.
Parody, or
it's more edgy. It's darker. Dark comedy. Got it.
There you go. Dark comedy.
Dark. All right. Where are we now? Oh, here we go. So Ted Lasso beating out everybody there. Sorry, Pen 15. I like you, but you got beat. Mm-hmm. Lead actress in the drama, Olivia Colman, who just wins everything every time she's in it. So that's just the rule.
they only give her the prize so that they can hear her acceptance speech. And yeah. It's funny because they had the London Annex of the Emmys, right? Because with COVID and testing, or not testing, but quarantines and stuff like that, they really couldn't bring a lot of actors and actresses from London over here for the Emmys. So they just had their own separate little area, like their own little bar in London that they were all hanging out in. And Tina's like, you know, it's like 4 a.m. there,
yeah,
because they're having to do that live and do their acceptance speeches. And so how anybody can come up with a coherent thought for their acceptance speech at 4 a.m.
That shows what good actors they are seeing.
It does. Yes, yeah, exactly.
Really taps into it. Real quick thought on that. I guess this morning they lifted travel restrictions from the UK to the US now. So,
oh, good.
So they could have all made it here had it been a week later.
That's right. It was kind of funny seeing Gillian Anderson accept for The Crown for supporting actress. And I always forget that her real voice sounds way more like Scully than it does, oh, yeah, you know, her Sex Education or The Crown, or like she grew up in Britain, but mm-hmm. I think was born in the US or Canada or something.
I think
something.
She had her foot in both places. So she's just got a really good command over both things, but her natural speaking voice is more like Mulder. You know that there's no such thing as aliens.
Exactly.
Yeah. Did she give a shout out?
It smells like cigarettes in here.
She give a shout out to the Coveney? Probably not.
I
want to say a special thanks to my old pal, David Duchovny, right, for years of whatever. She would do that. All right. Well, good for her. She's amazing. She's really good.
She's great. Yeah.
What else we got here? Let's see. We got Josh O'Connor for the Crown there. You got lead actress Jean Smart from Hacks, thing you told me to watch, which I will. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jason Sudeikis for Ted Lasso. Well done, lead actor in a comedy. Lead actress, limited series, movie anthology, went to Kate Winslet for Mayor of Easttown. Highly, very much deserved. She's amazing in that.
Yeah.
Lead actor, limited series, movie anthology, Ewan McGregor for Halston, which I've not watched.
No, of all of these, like, we've seen WandaVision, The Undoing, Hamilton. Boy, poor Hamilton. Just, you know, just hardly gets any sort of recognition. Really. Yeah.
No one ever talks about Hamilton. Just, you know.
No one ever talks about Hamilton. It's just so sad to see this great play go under the radar so completely and totally.
Yeah. That thing. For everyone's, for the record, they're nominated in everything here, so they just didn't win.
Yeah, exactly.
He also teased the upcoming Obi-Wan deal, and that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited about that. He seemed to think people are going to like it, he said. Well, of course he would. He's in it, but, you know, you never know. let's see. Who else we got here? We got your Hannah Waddingham from Ted Lasso. She's your...
She's Annie Lennox. She plays Annie Lennox on Ted Lasso.
she's also on Sex Education, I noticed. I'd forgotten she was in that.
Oh yeah, not season 3 though.
No, season 2. She's somebody's mom.
Right.
I think.
Yes.
Cam's when we were watching that, so I saw her on there.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Does she have a box of cookies with her? Biscuits, sorry, whatever you call them. I don't know what you call them over there.
Oh, rice. The shortbread.
Shortbread, there you go. Uh-huh. You got your Brett Goldstein for Ted Lasso. He's your what's his name? Your angry little soccer man. What's his name? Yeah. Roy.
Yes.
That's Roy. Isn't that Roy? I think Brett Goldstein is Roy. Roy Kent?
No, unfortunately, that's Brendan Hunt, I think.
Oh, I thought that was... No, the chat's saying it's Roy Kent. I don't know.
Oh.
I think it's... I saw him talk at a thing. Didn't he? Or I saw a video of him standing up thanking people and stuff. It is Roy Kent, right? Right? That actor?
No, it's... does he play Roy Kent? I'm thinking of the Ted Lasso's sidekick.
Oh, the coach.
The coach is coach. Who I'm thinking of, yes.
Okay.
That's who I wanted to win, yes. But no, he is the angry little soccer player.
Okay, gotcha.
Brett Goldstein.
Yeah, he's great. Jeremy Swift is who you're thinking of.
That's who I'm thinking of. Yeah. Coach Beard. Yes.
Coach Beard is amazing.
That's who I wanted to win out of that group. But,
he would have gotten, if he would have won, That's winning with way less work than anyone else. You know what I mean? And I'm not besmirching him for that. He's awesome.
Right.
But he's not hardly doing anything, and that would have been amazing.
No, he makes acting look effortless is what the thing is. Yeah.
Writing When I May Destroy You, The Queen's Gambit for directing. Some of these, we're getting into the weeds here. Supporting actress Julianne Nicholson for Mare of Easttown. She's really good.
She's her the best friend that is kind of, for a while, not the best friend.
Yeah. She was also very good on The Outsider. Very good on there.
Oh, yeah, I forget about that. Yeah.
She was, what's his name's wife? I can't think of his name. Justin Bateman, that's what I was going to say. His character. Right. Supporting actor Evan Peters from Mare of Easttown, The Crown.
Quicksilver.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. He was good.
As close as we got to anything winning from WandaVision was Evan Peters getting the best supporting actor.
He is good in that, though. He's very good in it.
Oh, in Mare of Easttown, he's fantastic. Yes, well deserved.
The limited series supporting actor is riddled with Hamilton people, and then
right.
Oh yeah. My gosh!
And Evan Peter, uses his Quicksilver power to dash in there and make it.
There's a ton of other stuff we mentioned. Gillian Anderson. Let's see. Let me skip ahead here. Last week, John Oliver won for the variety series. That has been especially good this year, I think.
It has. Now he's out of the void, the empty void. He's back in front of an audience.
In your competition series, you got RuPaul's Drag Race as the winner over Amazing Race, Nailed It, Top Chef, and The Voice. And for variety, you got Stephen Colbert's Election Night 2020 coverage.
Yep, that's the one where Conan O'Brien went up with them and helped accept it. Acting like he was a member of the crew, like, yeah, good job. Oh, yeah, good job. You were great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and then Outstanding Variety Special. We got Hamilton finally got its big win.
Finally. Poor Hamilton, finally got some recognition.
I will say that 8:46 Chappelle stand-up is really good. It's really funny.
Did you watch the West Wing special?
No, I did not.
Apparently I didn't even know that thing existed until it was nominated, until they went through the nominations. I'm like, oh, wow, that's cool.
I didn't know it happened until I just saw it here and you talked about it. So
there you go. Yeah,
and I'm a huge West Wing fan, so I'll have to check that out. Yes. All right. Well, there you have it. That's all she wrote for the Emmys. That means there's still time for us to have a little competition today. And to do that, we have to bring in our old pal, Brian Dunaway. He lives in a far off land known as South Carolina, where the water runs freely, the grass grows high, the dogs lick their own junk. It's a beautiful place. It's hot. It's muggy. I can't think of anything that rhymes with muggy, so I'll not try. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, here it is. Hey, look who it is. It's Brian Dunaway. Hi, welcome back.
Oh, hi, Scott and Ryan.
Oh, hi. Did they bring your chair?
Oh, hello.
How's your chair doing?
Why are you so evil, Scott? You know the answer to that. You know they didn't bring my chair. They didn't even call me. I had to call them, and then they were all like, we don't know where your chair's at, sir.
Oh, no.
Really? After all that, we're like, what, a week later after the first attempt or something? That's bad.
Yes. Thank you, J.B. Hunt. I like, okay, this is my rule. When we agree to meet someplace, we're both making an agreement.
Yeah.
And when you don't come and the follow-up, I am making the concessions.
Yeah.
If you have to do it a third time, you're making the concessions, but they don't. Because they're a shipping company and they can just stick it to me. As a matter of fact, they just said, we're not even going to schedule it until it arrives at our location. And I'm like, so you don't even know where it's at then. Okay. Well, didn't you just
right. Exactly. Yeah. Why'd you just admit it that you've lost my chair? Yeah.
We should Twitter bomb them and give them hell, man.
I don't want to be that.
I want to be that guy today. I want to be that guy. Let me be that guy.
Look, I've already told them. I've already went. I talked to corporate. They just gave me the sorries, and then I talked to the originating retailer who sent the product, and they sent a little letter. So I feel okay.
Yeah.
I feel okay.
As long as you got a letter, that's good.
Oh, yeah. That's well worth it if you got the letter.
Right.
Can you sit on that letter?
Yeah. Can you adjust it? Brian, does that letter have good lumbar support? How are you going to get – what's going on with that letter?
The retailer who sold me the product is – I love the retailer. And they took total ownership and said, yeah, that's our fault. We're getting in touch with JB. They took total ownership of it. And so they seemed to take care of it. They gave me a complete refund. Now I have to ship an ottoman back, which has been sitting in my living room. This is the matching ottoman to it.
No, you have to send it back. I say keep the damn ottoman. Yeah.
But they pay for the shipping return and all that stuff. They even offered to have J.B. Hunt come out and pick up my ottoman. I was like, don't you let those people.
Yeah, don't let them in my house. Yeah, those liars. Those lying right. sacks. All right, well, I've been following this from afar and just feeling your pain, and I guess I'm right. Glad.
Hey, man, it's the time of COVID. So it's hard to get truck drivers. I get all that. All I ask for is clear communication, transparency. Just be honest with me. Don't ask me to make a bunch of concessions if you're not willing to at least make some concessions yourself. That's all I ask for.
There you go.
I get it.
That's an equitable request for life. I don't think you're wrong in asking it. It's fine. Yeah. All right, well, I'm glad you're here. We're going to play a game. We're going to try to win some prizes for some people who will have them delivered very efficiently. Okay, they're not going to... It's not going to be a problem, we hope. Yep. Now, Brian, you want to explain...
We're not involving J.B. Hunt on the delivery of these prizes.
Please. So, Brian, you should explain this and who might win and all that.
I'll do all that stuff. Welcome to the Morning Squirm. It's a back-and-forth trivia game where our players will match wits on topics that Cliff Clavin would have offered up at the Cheers bar. If he was a little bit dirtier. Scott and Brian will take turns answering multiple-choice trivia questions, and if they get it wrong, the other player gets a point. The player with the most points after 5 questions wins the prize for their contestant, and we've pulled contestants from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Dan from McDonough, Georgia.
Oh.
He's right, a Georgia man.
Yeah, right next door.
Brian, you're playing for Jamie, a.k.a. TMS Mashups, coming to us from Vancouver, Canada.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm proud to play for Jamie.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah.
I'm proud to play for Dan, but I would also play for Jamie if it came down to it. But Dan, I'm excited to play for Dan.
And who are you playing for, Scott?
Dan. It's Dan. His name is Dan.
Oh, well, Dan lives in Georgia. Maybe Dan knows where my chair's at.
Yeah, maybe he does.
Yeah. Well, if he helps find your chair, then I'll just give him the prizes right now.
Sure. Sure. Well, look, we'll break rules to make things right. Justice is what matters.
That's right. Exactly. All right. So, last time around, I think Scott won. So we're going to give this first one to Brian Dunaway. Brian, Hot Cockles was a popular kids game in the 1500s that involved beating a blindfolded player until what happened?
How old do you think I am?
That is a real throwback.
It is. Remember playing this, Brian? All right. If they would beat a blindfolded player until one of the following happened. Which is it? A, he passed out. B, he went home crying. C, he correctly guessed who was punching him. Or D, he was able to dodge a punch.
Oh, interesting. Oh, my God. All those sound horrible.
They do.
Yes. I would vote. I don't know how the game was supposed to be played, but I'm pretty sure it probably ended in kids crying and going home. So I'm going to go with that follow up punch thing. That sounds rude. I think. I guess you get hit. It's kind of like spinning you around and it's disorienting you, and then they swing at you and you try to miss it. I think that sounds something dumb.
So until D, he was able to dodge a punch is what you're
correct.
Saying.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Okay. Is that the correct answer? No. Scott gets the point. Scott, do you have a guess?
Give me my remainers.
Your choices are until he passed out, until he went home crying, or until he correctly guessed who was punching him.
I feel like
Hot Cockles.
Right, exactly. That's how they ended every game.
By Galoob, it would say at the end. All right, I'm going to say it sounds like 1500 sounds like a brutal time. I'm going to say till you passed out.
Till he passed out is incorrect.
Damn it.
He was able to correctly guess who was punching him is the correct answer.
What? That's stupid.
I think that was Jack. Ow! No, I think it was Billy. Ow!
It was Billy.
Billy's too weak to swing like that. Ow, son of a...
Exactly. Jennifer. I got it right.
1500s are trying to think how they'd talk. It death was not Jennifer.
Dolph Jenner, who is Frankie Reed. Across the head. Stop it.
Now, where is the Vavitch?
Well, I never want to play a game of Hot Cockles is what I learned here.
No, all we right. will not be playing that at TMS Vegas. No. All right, Scott.
Yeah.
It's an entire, I'm sorry, in its entire history, only one professional American football player has died on the field. Mm. Which sport has killed 34 participants in that same time span?
Oh, my Lord.
Is
All
it?
Right.
Holy Moses.
That's a lot.
Is it horse racing, hockey, race car driving, or boxing? Where the participant dies
in the game or in the
during
moment.
The game. Okay. Right, exactly.
Because I.
Definitely. Before your very eyes.
I mean, did you say racing? You said racing.
I didn't say golf. I said, yes, race car driving. Golf. Horse racing, hockey, race car driving, or boxing.
Why did you say, hot cockles?
Why'd you
hot
say,
cockles?
Why'd
you yes, say how many hot cockles players have died?
Why did you say golf?
Professional hot cockles player.
Did I say
I
golf?
I didn't say
did
golf. Say I golf? Was joking. I was oh, like, oh. It was just...
All right. Let's go.
It sounded like you were about to say, did you say golf? But no, you didn't. No, no, no. Didn't. Yeah.
My gut tells me racing because who else would have catastrophic? Like lots of boxers die, but it's like later after they fend, you know, they, that gave him a tumor. Or he had a stroke later or whatever. But it never happens during the match. So I'm just going to say car racing.
Okay. Race car driving.
Yeah.
Is the answer race car driving? No, it is not.
Damn it.
Brian, your remaining, yes, Brian, you get the point. Your remaining choices are horse racing, hockey, and horse hockey, and boxing. Horse racing, hockey, and boxing.
I just don't like his hockey. I mean, it's such a violent sport, but I don't think death is usually the outcome. Boxing seems so much more likely. I'm just not sure how this question, I'm with Scott. It feels like it's kind of phrased weird, but I'm going to go with boxing.
Boxing. Is it
boxing?
No, it is not. It actually is horse racing. Horse racing has killed 34 participants in the time.
What do you expect when you got little short people out there riding around on horses with hooves, flying around?
I didn't realize that. That seems crazy to me, that number. But I guess, you know,
it does seem crazy. Yes.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It gives me a different view on jockeys.
Yeah.
Right. All right, Brian.
Jockey,
about,
dead man walking.
The Guinness Book of World Records earlier. A guy named Ryan Stock has set the world record for shoving this object a total of 56 centimeters up his nose. 56 centimeters up his nose. Is it a glow stick, a knife, a pencil, or a tampon? 56 centimeters.
Right. I'm looking at my ruler here. Hold on a second. I got to figure out how long 50 is because I don't know that. I'm not. Oh, my God. That doesn't even fit on here.
Was there? There's not a timeline on this, like the when this
it
happened.
Doesn't say the. Yeah, I don't have the year.
Okay.
And he stuck this 53 up his nose.
56 centimeters up his nose. It's like he gave himself his own COVID test.
Yeah.
That's not even possible. That's not even. That's outside the top of my head.
No, 53. 53 is only about like that.
Yeah, right?
I don't know, Brian. You can't see my fingers at home. Brian Dunaway. I mean,
I'm. Let's see. Here's centimeters right here. Oh no, this is millimeters.
Yeah, my centimeters is like that would be like.
There'd be.
Yeah, that's
10.
Like 22 inches.
That is 22 inches. I'm going to say that
oh, yeah, no. Yeah, millimeters.
I'm going to say that this information, this thing is, hold on a second. Let me recheck my data.
Maybe it's millimeters.
Yeah, I think it might be millimeters. Well, millimeters would work. That would totally work.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Here
That's
we go.
All I could picture was when you were saying is about millimeters. But yeah, centimeters is, well, it's 10 times that.
Anyway, he stuck something up his nose and it was really long.
Longer than it should have been. I'm still seeing centimeters.
Maybe
which...
it curled up and around. It curled up, you know, and
maybe.
Maybe that'll help you. Oh, why am I helping
that's
you?
That's interesting. Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, I fiddled around until I got the answer. Knife, tampon,
glow stick,
pencil,
or pencil.
Glow stick is the only thing that's flexible. I'm going to go with glow stick.
All right. Is it glow stick? Yes, it is.
Yeah,
you know, I was visualizing one of those Siloune light sticks, you know, those ones that they're short. This is one of those like you can use as a bracelet and wrap it around. I've put the video in our Discord chat.
Oh, there's a video? It has to be because I'm sure he like take pictures of that glowing in the dark.
Oh my gosh. This is real.
It is real. Yeah.
Oh my hell. Okay. Chat, hold on.
Yeah. You gotta show the, oh my God.
I mean, it's going down his throat and probably.
I think it's a bit stretched to call him a man or even a human, really.
I mean, look at this. How? Okay. Let me skip ahead some. That's the glow.
No.
So where is this going then? Down his throat?
Down his throat. Yeah.
Gotta be. Oh, that makes my nose hurt.
Yeah, it does.
I hate everything about this.
Look how fast it is, too.
Why did he just sharpie his nose? Oh, it was to
mark it, yeah.
No one touch it now.
Right, exactly, yes. Holy Earn Moses. That glow stick and that sharpie.
That's really
that's quite the new COVID test. I don't think I care for that.
Yeah, I don't like that new self-done COVID test. It's not cool.
Right. And all you do is you just stick the glow stick on your nose.
Yeah.
All right. When we did our tests in Dublin, we actually they did the swab that was like the big back of your sinuses.
Oh
swab.
Yeah.
Every other time I've had it done or done it to myself, they said, yeah, half an inch into your nose, five spins around, 15 seconds. But man, when they did it in Dublin, it was like,
yeah. Wow.
Like that, don't ya? All right. So Brian gets the point on that one. It's now 2-1. Scott, this one's going to you.
All right.
Over 25% of daily search engine requests are people looking for what? Is it dieting tips, advice about committing murder, porn, or medical advice?
Well, porn would be the easy go-to because everyone just thinks that. But I'm going to say it's medical advice.
All right. Is it medical advice?
Come on.
No, it is not. Brian gets the point.
Frick.
When you said the
murder
one,
you said
Brian.
How to commit murder or how to do a murder? Was that what you said? Or
How to murder, medical porn.
Advice,
no, medical porn.
Dieting,
and not
dieting
porn.
Tips. Advice dieting about tips. Committing murder and porn are your three remaining choices.
Dieting porn. Got it. All right.
See, I just don't. Who's searching for porn? You know, where is that?
That's a really good point. Yeah.
No. I don't know. If you're some, I don't know, you're some lonely 60-year-old and you're not real computer savvy. I mean, what are you doing?
I'm finally going to do it. I'm going to look at porn on the internet. I'm doing it.
Google, where is porn?
I'll show grandma.
Find porn near me.
She won't give me any. I'll show her. Damn it, grandma. I want to go with dieting tips.
All right. Is it
dieting? People think about it every day. Go ahead.
Yeah.
That's true. Is it dieting tips? No, it is not.
Yeah. It's gonna be medical.
Sometimes if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, it really is a duck. Porn. It is porn.
Gosh, wow.
That just seemed like the too easy answer, but it was right.
It does. I think that's, and it was in here to kind of throw you off with like the other ones like, oh, well, what if it is medical advice, you know?
Yeah.
Dang it.
All right. Okay. We're both killing it here. 3-1. Yeah. You can, Brian's won, but you can still redeem yourself. And it's kind of a related question. So Scott, this one will go to you.
All right.
Speaking of searching for porn on the internet, what's the most popular holiday of the year for viewing porn? Is it Halloween, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, or Thanksgiving? What's the most popular holiday for people to search for porn?
I have a visual image for all of those entries for some reason.
Right. And it's always a stepmom.
Yeah.
Stepmom hands out candy to trick-or-treaters.
So did you
stepmom
say,
serves turkey.
Did you say Christmas Day, not Christmas Eve?
Christmas Day and New Year's Day. So Halloween, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, Thanksgiving.
All right. Here's my thinking and here's why I'm answering this way.
Okay.
I think it's Christmas Day because Christmas Day has a malaise to it that's hard to describe. It's like, it's over now. And we got to throw all this tree out and clean up all this
it's
stuff.
It's over now. I might as well masturbate.
I'm going to go try to take my mind off this, and that's how they do it. So I'm going to say Christmas Day.
All right. Is it Christmas Day? No, it is not.
Really? I would have thought the same, too, because that's the time people most likely to kill themselves, and I think people are trying to find some type of, you know, just some type of life, some type of reason
to,
you know,
choices.
To move
look,
forward.
It's either porn or suicide. I'm going out one way or the other.
Right.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, you just got that new computer and you got
to
look
up. See, that's a really good point, right? You just got a new device for searching for porn.
Right. I'm just going to go. I'm going to go with my answer that makes me laugh the most. I think it's going to be Thanksgiving after all the people are fat and bloated and you just got through greasy on Thanksgiving.
You fall asleep halfway through because of the tryptophan.
You're just like, I'm gross. Let's just go ahead and put a topper on this. I'm going to look at some porn.
Ooh, that turkey sure looked good. Brian, you are absolutely correct. It is Thanksgiving, the most popular holiday for
you nasty humans.
Dude. Just take the turkey in the other room and leave us alone.
Everybody's in the kitchen. I'll just look up. Is that what the problem is? Is all the people, all the women in the kitchen? Okay, that's wrong. Yeah. But still, is that the theory?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe everybody else leaves. Yeah. You're sitting watching football
They're
on a
occupied.
Couch. Yeah.
Now's my chance.
Yeah, this is your chance.
Oh man, my favorite aunt is coming over for Thanksgiving.
Oh man. Oh, if you've got emails to write them to Brian, not to me. All right. Well, that is a horrifying quiz that we've just done.
Yeah.
It was horrifying. It is.
And congratulations to Brian Dunaway and to TMS Mashups.
He's going to get
a couple of great games courtesy of Steam. It is Super Hot and Wargroove.
Yeah.
Both of those. Super Hot and my favorite thing on the Oculus still.
Yeah.
Love it.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
But don't worry, Dan from McDonough, Georgia, you're also getting, you're getting something cool. You're getting Rising Storm 2 Vietnam plus two DLCs for that game. So, you guys are both getting some great prizes.
Yeah, you're both winners, really.
Winner, chicken dinner.
I mean, I'm the loser today, but everyone else won. It's fine. Everybody wins but me is the point.
Everybody but Scott.
That's right.
I would argue humanity has lost after that last question.
Feels a little
I think
like
so.
It. Yeah, you're not
Butterball
wrong.
Has lost after that last question.
That's still a brand I can go get a turkey, right?
Yeah, you can still get a Butterball.
Okay.
Yeah.
I used to think that was fake.
Butterball still has the hotline I think you can call on Thanksgiving to say,
oh, yeah.
How long do I put this in the microwave?
Are they still... are they the brand
you don't, sir?
Are they the brand you think of though? Like, is it that's what everyone does these days?
That's
is they
who
all
I think of.
Okay?
Yeah, that's the
standard. They're like the what?
Who's the guy? It takes a tender man to handle a juicy turkey or something like that. What's
the God. No wonder we're watching porn on Thanksgiving.
You know the phrase. I can't remember the phrase. It is
it
like
takes
a
tender man.
Slogan. It takes a
Butterball.
Purdue, yes.
You're thinking Purdue.
Oh.
Okay. Purdue.
Purdue, wait, they're another turkey maker? Or turkey?
They're another turkey maker, yeah.
They make the turkey?
Turkey maker. They don't make,
Nobody don't make no turkey. No. All right. Dunaway, well done. Sorry you're chairless. I hope that works itself out in the long run. And
It already has.
Oh, it has. Okay.
Money's coming back.
Yeah, new chair.
The deal is off. Deal is off.
Go to some local mom and pop, buy a damn chair the old-fashioned way.
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Good boy. Bye now. All right, there goes Brian. Oh, I forgot to mention, we're doing the Boop Show tomorrow. Brian had a thing come up, and as schedules go, we had to bump that show one day. So Tuesday at 3:30 p.m. Mountain Time, the Boop Show.
By the way, I wasn't far off. It takes a tough man to handle a tender turkey.
That's pretty good. I like tender man handling a tough turkey.
A juicy turkey, yeah.
It's pretty good.
All right, it takes a tough man to make a tender chicken. That's
there you go. Tender chickens all around, everyone, while we take a break. When we come back, it'll be Steven Schleicher time and major spoilers, as well as before him, Bill Duran with a little bit of Making Things with Bill. So stick around. Cool. Brian's got a little song to stick in the middle here. What do you got?
Will do. By the way, that guy you're seeing in our Discord chat is Frank Perdue.
Oh, wow. Look at him.
Frank Perdue.
He's excited.
Hey, this Indie in the Middle, by the way, is brought to you by the TMS Tadpool Feud. It's time for another survey. Answer some questions and give us some content for Tadpool Feud, which we play on Wednesdays here on the show. Give your best answers to about 20 questions I think I've got in there. And, you do the funny things, right? You throw the funny questions in there.
Yeah.
A little Norm MacDonald. and they don't make it in the survey. So, do that at your own risk. But visit tiny.cc/tadpoolfeud, all lowercase. And remember, a feud is F-E-U-D, not F-U-D-E or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Tadpool Feud, tiny.cc/tadpoolfeud, and you can submit your answers. All right. Let's get to today's Indie in the Middle. I was stalling because I didn't have the information.
I think you did great. I would have.
Did I? Because I'm still looking, oh, Scott. I just don't know how well I did. Oh. Because
if you're still looking, you failed miserably. But
I did. Yeah, yes.
Short of that.
All right. This is a band called Still Corners. They have a brand new single. It's called Heavy Days. It's out now on Wrecking Light Records. They're going to be touring in the U.S. in 2022, and they've also rescheduled some European dates. This is a duo. Their last album was The Last Exit. I'm sorry. Their last album was Last Exit, which came out, in January of 2021. This is their brand new track called Heavy Days. Again, it is a brand new single from the band Still Corners.
Is easy. Let me demonstrate. Inhale, exhale. orange is the new black. But not in my apartment building. Kevin is the new black.
This is the morning stream. All your bays are belong to us.
And we're back, everybody. That song one more time.
That is Heavy Days by the band, by the duo Still Corners.
Nice.
Is that Norm MacDonald? Yeah. That clip? It had to be, right?
Yeah. It was one of my favorite jokes he ever told. It's one of those ones where it just feels a little dangerous, but, right. But not really, but kind of. Like, I don't know.
I watched a YouTube clip of him on, was it Conan? It was where Courtney Thorne-Smith from Melrose Place was another guest. Mm-hmm. And she's talking about how excited she is about her brand new movie with called Chairman of the Board with Carrot Top. And and Conan is saying, so what's the name of this film? And Norm MacDonald interrupts and says, I've got a name for it. Box Office Poison.
I'm gonna miss it
for sure. He's one of the best. They did a nice little tribute to him, both the Academy and also Lorne Michaels, when Saturday Night Live won for one of their products. He gave a very teary speech.
Even though they fired his ass. Oh man,
they fired him and then brought him back for
to host. Yeah.
To host, yeah. Which means either I've gotten funnier or the show sucks.
It's classic. All right, now this.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
I watched the episode of King of the Hill last night that had this line in it, and it throws me every time. I'll hear it, like we're just in bed and working on something, and I hear, your bat cave's open. I'm like, oh, what?
Then I showed up.
Yeah, then you showed up, and it was very awkward. Anyway, hey, Bill Duran, look who it is. He's calling us all the way from punishprops.com's headquarters right there in the Seattle, Washington area. I'm going to dox you fully. We're getting down to the actual address here soon.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's good to have you here, Bill. What's been going on in your week, Mr. Maker Man?
We have a new video out over on our YouTube channel.
What?
Been a couple months since we put one out, but we've been working hard on this one, and I'm super proud of it.
Yeah.
Because I made a lightsaber, but it's not just a lightsaber from Star Wars. Oh, no. No, it's a Highlander lightsaber. Yes.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. Okay.
I made a lightsaber that looks like the katana from Highlander.
And will it take off the Kurgan's head?
It would take this one a while to do that. It's
okay.
The blade is plastic.
Yeah.
Saw away for a while, but
nice.
In theory, yes, it would definitely handle the Kurgan.
I love this idea. I can tell how we're filming this. The move is over. You've moved. This is a new space.
Yeah, and that's back in the old basement. Old basement, new shop.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks really nice in there. Doesn't look as cavernous as the old shop used to look.
Right. Yeah. We. We've had time to really think about how everything's going together, especially decorating, so that the background of the videos have a lot of really fun stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It looks awesome. Okay. Well, very cool. Describe this thing and what I'm curious mostly where the inspiration came from. Like, at what point were you sitting around going, you know, what'd be cool? The Highlander sword, but as a lightsaber. That's a weird combo. Yeah.
Actually, I don't know why I didn't think of this before, but a Kurgan Darth Vader mashup costume would be awesome.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. There you go.
So it started with the handle. The handle of the lightsaber I made is the handle from the katana from Highlander.
No.
I made a Highlander video a few months ago, and a fan reached out and said, hey, you like Highlander? I have a mold you can borrow. So he mailed me a silicone mold that he had his hands on. I don't know how he got it. The mold was a production-used silicone mold from the movie Highlander 2, which came out in 1991. The mold is it's a 30-year-old mold.
Wow.
And it still works. So that the handle I ended up casting for this thing is super legit. It's literally the same as the one from Highlander 2 from the movie.
Wow.
So that's wicked cool. And that's kind of where it started. So he sent me that. He sent me some guards too. He cut out of brass. And I do want to eventually make a katana, like a real metal blade that looks almost exactly like it's from the movie. However, I also had an itch to make a lightsaber at the time, so I thought before then, before I make the bladed metal katana, I want to make a lightsaber too.
Yeah, combine your passions, man. Put them, smush them together. Why not?
Absolutely. Total mashup. Two of my favorite things. I only have one lightsaber. That's not enough lightsabers for a
proper. It can be only one.
Yeah. My God.
So I decided to make it into a lightsaber. The handle, like I said, I had that mold. The handle was slush cast. So you pour some resin in there and you sort of slush it around to coat the inside of the mold. That gave me a hollow casting on the handle so I could jam a bunch of electronics in there, which are very necessary for a lightsaber.
Sure. I don't think you got much of a lightsaber if you don't have light coming out of it, you know?
No, it's just a stick.
Yeah. It's just saber.
Yeah.
It's just a saber. Plastic saber.
The electronics that we did, speaking of the light portion, that was a kit that I purchased. And there are several companies out there that sell lightsaber parts. And I'm here to tell you, if you want a rabbit hole to jump down, there are so many cool kits you can get, parts you can get, custom pieces, metal parts. It's amazing. When I was at Silicon a couple of weeks ago, there were a handful of people who basically just make lightsabers for a living. I got to talk with a lot of them, and they've sort of developed a lot of these systems, these like almost plug-and-play systems to build your own lightsaber.
I would love
it's really cool.
I'd love to chew on the ear of one of those people one time and just ask them, in their world, if they're just making lightsabers for a living and that's just kind of their realm, do they get heat from, like, Disney? Do lawyers ever call them? Like, I don't know how that works these days.
I don't think so. There are enough of them now. There are enough of big companies. So, for example, I ordered mine from Saberforge. They've been around for a long time, and they're still around, and they have booths at conventions and stuff. I think Lucasfilm has been pretty lenient on the Star Wars costuming stuff.
Yeah.
They have kind of an unspoken agreement with the community.
Yeah.
Which that's could, of course, change.
Yeah, yeah, that's the problem with unspoken deals is it could change in a heartbeat. But yeah, I was just curious about that. Well, that's good to hear, though. I think kind of creativity would get super stifled if they got real litigious about it. I'm glad it's not.
And there are some incredibly creative lightsaber things that people are making now that are really cool that only barely take any inspiration from Star Wars. They've gone off to become kind of their own thing now. It's really amazing.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I was able to buy the electronics. I didn't have to figure anything out. I just bought the parts I needed, a fully made kit. All I had to do was pick the blade color and the blade length, and they sent me everything. Now, I did end up swapping out some of the components because the handle I was working with is a lot smaller than I thought it would be.
Oh, sure. A lot smaller than a typical big beefy lightsaber.
Yeah, and it wasn't a cylinder either. These kits are usually designed to put the electronics in a cylinder. My handle is this flattened sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like an extreme oval, the way that thing would be inside. Right,
and it tapers to get thinner as well at the end.
Yeah.
So I found a smaller speaker. I found a much smaller battery. That was the main problem. The battery that's in there is very small. It doesn't last very long, but it fit, and it does the job. And then there's also an activation button to fire the whole thing up, and I had to swap out a much smaller button. But what's cool is that when you look at the handle, there's only a tiny little button to turn it on and a small quarter-inch hole to charge it. But it's very sleek. I was able to keep it without having a bunch of giant buttons sticking off of it.
Yeah.
And then the guard. So this is the part I'm the most proud of. The guard is all made out of brass. And I am very quickly falling in love with brass. Just working with it and the finished product you get is really cool. There's a sleeve that holds the blade. That was turned on the lathe. I think you guys had that up on the screen there a minute ago.
Yeah.
I have this tiny little baby lathe that has worked fine for me so far, and it was perfect for this job. And then the guard portion, the sort of circle with the ornate-looking thing on there, that one I cut on a CNC machine.
Ooh,
that was fancy. Really, really neat.
Yeah. Ooh, look at this little brass piece thingy. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it about brass that you like? It's already got the metal texture, so you don't have to deal with that, but also it's kind of heavy, so you got some heft to it. Like, what's the love affair with brass currently?
Yeah. The weight feels nice. The sound, like when it hits other stuff, it sounds great. Working with it is... It just, like, on a lathe, for example, it just cuts really well on a lathe.
Yeah.
It's like it's made for machining, and it, it's like it's a lot softer than, say, steel.
Yeah.
So it just cuts really
now
well.
To use it, though, it costs a little more. They call that brass tacks.
That's right, of course.
All right, sorry, continue. Don't let me stop you. Keep going.
I did learn that it is fairly pricey, or at least right now brass is. I don't know what it normally is. So I had a bar stock that was put on the lathe to make a couple parts, but I also had this flat stock that I chucked in the CNC machine to cut out. It took me a couple of tries. CNC is a complicated beast.
Sure.
And while brass is a softer metal, I have a very small CNC machine I was borrowing, and in it struggled a little bit, so I had to... you can slow the machine way, way down, so it took a long time to cut all the parts, but on my second try, I got a really good...
Well, it's not bad. Yeah, two's better than the 20 or so it'd take me.
Mm-hmm. So, nice job. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. What's all that brass on the floor? Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
yeah. That's cool.
I made one guard, and it kind of turned out okay, and now I just have that. I guess it's going to be a coaster or something. The second one turned out really well.
Yeah.
I even had to... There was a chunk of brass there that needed to be a little wider, so I heated it up with a torch and just whacked it with a hammer, yeah. Which was fun. I'd never really done that before, to reshape a piece of metal. And you could do that. Like if a piece of metal isn't wide enough, you could just heat it and whack it until it's flattened. Sure. And then it's wide enough. Can't do that with a wood.
Nope.
Or plastic.
Nope.
No, I'd love to see Mark try.
Yeah. Yeah. You get that. You hear that challenge there, Spagnolo? Get it on, buddy. Get it going.
That's right.
Well, wow, this is a really, really neat project, and something anyone would ever have thought of. Like, everyone wants to have the sword from Highlander, and everybody wants to have a lightsaber, but no one ever talks about doing both in one.
It was just very, very satisfying to put together. It's all screwed together, like nothing's glued, so I can unscrew all those metal parts that I custom made. The light looks so good. Like, the blade looks so good on camera. It looks so good.
Yeah, it's just a nice, solid-looking, sweet-looking blade. That looks really, really good, man. Congratulations. Now, you said you're going to eventually, at some point, you're going to make a proper, like, super detailed sword from that film that is just a bladed sword, and that's the whole point.
And that would be more like just a straight-up replica. Right. Although I would want it to be good enough to be able to cut things like... what do people cut for demonstration? They rolled up mats
against a tomato, and then look how cleanly it goes through this tin can.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I have some friends who work more with metal. I have a friend who's a swordsmith, and who I may see if he wants to help me make a blade. That'd be pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, you have all the right friends in the right places for stuff like that.
Right.
Oh my gosh, look at this thing! I'm looking at your final shots here at the end. You're like,
yeah.
Oh, that light even looked like it came out of nowhere.
Uh huh.
Damn.
That's all right. Cool.
And look at the really nerd cool. holding it. Man. Well done, dude. Very cool project. You can see this, of course, over on the Punish Props Academy YouTube site, or punishprops.com will get you there. So do check that out and get your own creative juice flowing. You got a little bonus link for us today?
Yeah. So Clickspring, who is a machinist, he does a lot of stuff in brass. He put out a new video all about ancient technology and ancient workshops. And it's fascinating.
Mm.
So, again, he does a lot of like machining and brass. He makes clocks and stuff. And he's been building this anti-Kithra mechanism for a long time now. And he keeps diving into it.
Oh, my gosh. I love little stuff like this.
Oh. Yeah, and that's the other thing. Everything he makes is teeny tiny.
Yeah,
like you'll think it's normal size until his thumbnail shows up.
Yeah,
you realize how tough.
I was gonna say this thing looks like a giant brass or metal block that you know a dude could stand next to, and then this giant human thumb comes down and moves it around. I'm like, oh, okay. Then we're talking like he's got a good micro camera or micro lens on this camera is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Wow, that's beautiful. Go check it out. That's Clickspring on YouTube, Bill. Having you here, as always, a giant pleasure, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
Oh.
Bye, Bill.
See you next week.
PunishProps.com, everybody. Chimbeard on Twitter. All right. How about some... you know what I was going to share with him? I'll do it with you real quick.
Sure.
Finally broke out the clay.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, we had a clay date, we called it, with the boy.
Clay date. Yeah. Nice.
Where we had Van over, and we're like, you know what? Let's do some clay. And he just, of course, mashed it all together. But I made something that scared the poo out of him. I'm putting it in Discord now.
Oh, wow.
Even with Carter.
A little freaky.
So Carter made the hat because by itself, it was a little freaky. I just made a quick head. A little
demon head. Yeah.
And I think it's the lack of eyelids that can really get you. Anyway, she put that little cute little flower hat on it, and that still didn't do any good, but he kept eyeing it, and he got really distracted by it. And at one point he looked at me all worried and goes, scary. So we had to hide it. And then I'm a little worried that maybe he had some dreams last night that were a little freaky. God. Anyway, the point is we broke out some clay.
And good deal.
Yeah, some clay.
Yeah, I was going to say, the stuff I remember you holding up was just like a big brown brick of clay. So this must have been like some Sculpey or something.
This is some Play-Doh. Plasticine that I think Kim picked up. So it's the oil-based stuff, which, you know, isn't really going to go anywhere. But I do have that big block of Sculpey and brick. Those new tools. Yeah. I think after just digging around in there for a minute, it made me go, oh, yeah, I do actually really enjoy this. Why am I not doing this more?
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that more.
It's kind of cathartic too, right?
Yeah. I don't know why.
If you don't like something, bang, you just mash it up and start all over again.
That's right. But it was a lot of fun when he had a good time.
That's cool.
Except he thought it was scary and I felt a little bad about it. A little.
No, that nightmare is Grandpa.
Yeah. And what's funny is Taylor came home. We were watching while they went out to dinner for their anniversary, and they came home to get him. And I said, Taylor, don't. I showed her this thing. I said, yeah, look, he hates this thing, but I made this face. And she goes, no, he doesn't. She takes it out of my hand, runs over to him and holds it right up to him and goes, you don't like this? You don't like this? And he's just like, I'm like, no, he's going to have nightmares.
No, like you made it worse.
Yeah, yeah, it's your fault now, not mine.
That's funny.
All right. Bill, or not Bill, Steven incoming.
Steven, yes.
Yeah, we're going to get that going on, which starts with this.
Steven Schleicher. Steven Schleicher.
Hey, look who it is. It's our own, we like to say we own him. It's our own Steven Schleicher from MajorSpoilers.com joining us from Hayes, Kansas. Hello, Steven, how are you?
Good morning, Scott. Good morning, Brian. I don't know if you can hear me.
We can.
Oh, we can hear you just fine.
Yeah, where are you? At school? Okay. You at school today?
Are you?
Something.
My end,
but that's okay.
Oh, you're a little chop, not choppy, but a little cut outy, but it's not terrible. You sound all right.
It's not too bad.
Yeah, we'll make this work. It sounds like we're in a secret meeting though.
I know, you're so like, are you at the DMV or something?
What are you doing?
No, I'm at the office, but I thought this got set up correctly, but who knows?
Okay. Well, you never know. we'll make it work. I know that. Hey, yeah, so,
Discord, it's sounding better and better, so Discord's figuring stuff out.
Yeah, it does this thing where it likes to be dumb for about 30 seconds and then everything sounds fine. But hey, it's a major spoilers time. Let's talk about this. So you saw Why the Last Man, Steven? You caught the first episode?
I watched the first episode and I was not super impressed, and I know a lot of people are very excited about this. I mean, the comic book series was very, you know, seminal back, was it like 15 years ago or whatever it was when it first came out. But I think times have changed a little bit and things have changed a little bit to where I watched the first episode and I was like, you know, I don't believe the premise. Just because a bunch of men die, or all the men die, I don't think the world would collapse, because women are pretty self-sufficient and smart and can handle a lot of those same exact things.
Yeah, I feel like that's true. But also, there's still stuff to mine there. The question is it enough to make a TV show and have it sustain itself? Like, for example, one of the things I loved about the comic was the shift in military power that happened overnight. So overnight, because we are such a man-based military in terms of leadership, engineering, and other stuff, our military completely collapses overnight because all of the men die. All of the pilots, all of the chiefs of staff, all of the generals, all of the, you know, these are all men, and they all just die. But in Israel, it's already mandatory. Women get mandatory military training anyway, and there's already that the military is just stacked with women, and that also in leadership roles. So what you have is a overnight succession that just lands on them, but they're ready for it, and now they are the world military power, based on experience and positions already held, and their planes didn't all go down because a lot of women were flying them and that sort of thing. Like that, I haven't seen the first episode, so I don't know if they address that. But I loved that concept of not so much that they couldn't handle it across the board, because they could. I agree with you. It's that the dynamics in power would shift.
Oh, yeah.
In a way that's interesting to explore. And so that's one of the things I loved about the comic, and I want the show to go that way. And if I'm honest, I am kind of I want to be a little rubbernecky about the first episode, because the concept of everyone, all of the men suddenly just dying and then illustrating that is interesting to me. Like the president collapses, all these army guys collapse, all these planes fall out of the sky and kill a ton of people. You know, it's awful, but that's an interesting thing to explore. And it would be just equally as interesting if all the women suddenly died for me. Like, it's not about which gender goes away. It's just what does that do to the dynamic of everything? Mm-hmm. It sounds like, from what I've read and from what you just said, the show maybe leans too far into it's all chaos because women don't know how to do it or something.
From what I saw in the first episode, it seemed like, oh, this is a fairly faithful adaptation of the comic book, except for the weird mysticism part, you know, where York thinks that because he's got that ring around his neck, that's what's saving him, or whatever his thing was going on in the comic. But yeah, they seem like it's a fairly faithful adaptation of the comic book. But like I said, it's now 10 years later. And I think we as a society look at things differently. And we look at women's roles in society a lot differently today than we would have when the source material came out. And so I think there's a lot of stuff that may be a little, I don't know, may feel like it's aged wrong.
Well, that's interesting.
Did you watch the first three or just the first episode?
I just watched it. And I was like, I'm not interested in anything else.
Okay. Yeah, because they did drop three.
I'm going to probably go through the whole thing just because I'm going to, but I...
Oh, for sure.
I feel like you're right. It is a thing of its time. What's funny is it feels like we've gotten... I think that just says the whole point of that original comic wasn't just to say, oh, what if? I mean, that's part of it.
No.
But most of it was actual commentary on power dynamics and... the patriarchy, and it's too much, and women don't have enough role in society. Like that's what it was commentating on. And now what you've kind of said, and I think I agree with this, there has been progress in those 10 years. Like, we've actually made a bunch of progress that makes this feel, it's just going to feel different. It's going to hit differently. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunate, because when I read that run, I was so into that comic, you guys. Holy crap, I couldn't believe how much I loved it. And Brian K. Vaughan became my favorite comic book writer, and I couldn't wait for anything he ever does. Still true. Just love everything he writes. And I'll admit I was excited about this. But I know part of me is like, I can look in the mirror and go, Scott, what are you actually excited about? And what I'm excited about is disarray and end of times kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. I like it in my fiction, don't like it in real life.
The grand reset kind of is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, like, speaking of grand reset, are we getting close to resetting the clock here in about 30 seconds if Scott keeps talking about the apocalypse?
What do you mean if I mention Mad Max Fury Road? Is that what you're talking about?
All right. Restart
that's fine.
The
we can restart the clock. But here's the thing, like, there's the trailer for that Tom Hanks thing dropped today, which is very much post-apocalyptic, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know how much I love Waterworld. All of this could be bad and I'm still into it. So I'll watch this, you know, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a shot as well. And I'm a three episode guy. Like I'll do three episodes before I decide if it's for me or not. I've gave Golden Girls three episodes. I think I actually even gave it four or five, but, I did.
Yeah.
But, it's what I do to decide if I like something or not. Just
as,
me.
As they would say, thank you for being a friend.
Ah. I hate that song. That doesn't help things because I really
it doesn't actually
song.
Help my argument.
So freaking pedantic. It's like, oh, thank you for you'd give me the best present of all my friends.
Well, maybe I'm just back in the mood or something.
Saccharin.
I spent a decent portion of my weekend creating some new apocalyptic art. I've been thinking about this stuff a lot. I watched a chunk of Fury Road again. Like, I'm in the mood right now. So
what about, I don't know if we talked about this. What about the apocalypse gets you so excited?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. There's something about, especially lone. I mean, and honestly, it's, you know, a lot of this has its roots in Westerns where it happens kind of in its own place. it's the world building of like, well, what if everything we know just goes away? And I'm doing this safely behind a screen or behind a comic page or behind whatever. I'm not having to experience it. I don't want this in real life by any stretch.
Of course.
I want good
societal
norms.
It's cool
to like
imagine what would happen if all of a sudden the playing field just got leveled and everybody had to kind of start over and rebuild a society.
I think some of it psychologically is, I've talked to Wendy about this, I think some of it is the big reset. Oh, Miravina just said it in the chat, like a big reset. The concept of a reset doesn't scare me because if it's just you and it's your dog, you know, whatever stereotype you want about your apocalypse, but you know, it's you and you've got to make your way across the desert to get to the thing that, you know, there's food or whatever. There's something just pure and basic about it. I also think it's why I like these like simulation games like Car Simulator or Car Mechanic Simulator and the new fantastic Gas Station Simulator where you run an old gas station on Route 66. Yeah. I think the reason I like those is because they're just like, here are my tasks. It is all I have to do. I don't have to worry about anybody else. I just got to do this and let's just go do it and get it done. And there's something about an apocalypse where it's just like, you know, I'm the mariner. I got to find paper and I got to trade it for some fish. And here's some dirt I found. And let's go to the floating place and I'll exchange that for something. And now Waterworld's a better place because I'm just getting my shit done. Like there's something about it. I don't know what it is. Like all Furiosa and Mad Max had to worry about was this one thing. Get these women out of here and survive. And there's something pure about that. I don't know what it is. I can't really explain myself very well, but that's the best answer I can give you.
You're saying I understand a lot of people just were like, I just wish we could wipe this thing down to the ground and just start over from scratch. But I think people really underestimate what it means to start something over completely from scratch.
Right. Yeah, there is something about
it. And I think that's the scary part because, yes, Mad Max may be about let's go. And go from A to B and then back to A again. But you've also got to think that, you know, there's people trying to kill you left and right. What are you doing for food and water and all of these other things? And your daily survival is going to be a lot more about your basic needs than drawing a picture and trying to barter that for something else.
Right, right. And yeah, there's just maybe it's that shakeup of the mundane or maybe it's just purely like, well, here it is on screen and it's happening and I'm not there. But I like to explore these concepts and do it in this creative way. And I don't know. I just find that cathartic. And we lost Steven on that. Hold on.
Oh, no.
I think he's in a weird place for internet. There he is. Hello. You're back.
How are you?
Hello, Steven.
Oh, I like that Discord shut down and rebooted. Oh. Now everything sounds better.
Well, that's not. Oh. Bad. Oh, that's weird.
Maybe you're saying now it sounds better?
On my end, yeah.
Oh, okay. Weird. Maybe Discord needed to reset. You never know.
Maybe it did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all right. So why the last man? Jury's out. We'll see how that goes.
Well, I think jury actually liked it quite a bit. You should ask him tomorrow.
Oh, well,
our jury's in,
jury
but the rest of the jury's out.
Yeah, our jury's super in. All right. Also, somebody said I didn't know that Marvel old man Peter Quill thing on audio the podcast thing. I didn't know that existed until like a week ago.
So yeah, Marvel has done a lot. They did a Wolverine series, which was super popular. Then I know they did an Old Man Logan one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think what else they've done. But now HBO, and I think as kind of a response to the popularity of the Marvel one, HBO Max has released Batman The Audio Adventures.
Oh, yeah. So this is, tell me who's in this again. Somebody big is in this.
It's like got everybody. It's got Dennis McNicholson from Saturday Night Live, who wrote and directed it. It's got Jeffrey Wright, you know, the Uatu, and also from Robot
World. And
yeah. Well, he's also he's the Batman. New, he's the new... Commissioner Gordon in the new film Gordon. Getting made. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So he plays Batman. Rosario Dawson is Catwoman. Correct. John Leguizamo shows up in the first episode as the Riddler. And then you've got a whole bunch of others, just like celebrities left and right. Alan Tudyk, Brooke Shields, Paul Shearer. You've even got Ted Lasso himself.
Yeah, Jason Sudeikis.
Not as Ted Lasso, but the actor.
Yeah, he's got to believe. Batman, you
hey,
need
Batman,
to believe.
You know what I got?
Ray Wise, so many more. It's you can listen to it right now. They've released like the first episode for free on YouTube for people to check out. But you can also listen to it on HBO Max. And it's fairly well done.
I assume it's on some podcast RSS feed somewhere, right? Should be. Why wouldn't they do that? They got to do that, right?
Yeah, it's probably on a podcast feed as well, but they just say, come listen to it now on HBO Max.
Yeah. I'm all about this. I think this is great. Mm-hmm. It's like a return to old, you know, old drama radio.
Radio, yeah.
It is. This is
only
a crazy.
The shadow knows.
Look at this. Bobby Moynihan, Kenan Thompson, Jason Sudeikis, as you mentioned, Alan Tudyk. Brett Spiner's in this. Got a little Star Trek connection there. Seth Meyers. Crazy. Tim Meadows. And Ray Wise from your Wrapped in Plastic.
Twin Peaks. Yeah.
That's cool. I like him.
Bob.
Very good in season 3 of Fargo as well. He was in that very familiar looking bowling alley from another.
There's a show where he was the devil too, right?
Yeah, that was called. Oh, it was great while it lasted.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith was involved somehow, directed the pilot or something.
Reaper. Yes. So Reaper thank you for your Rangers.
Great.
Yeah.
Or Reaper was great until it wasn't. It kind of fell off.
Right, exactly. Yeah, started out great.
Yeah, it was a bummer. Anyway, all right. Well, that's something I'll get into. I guarantee that. I like me some Batman. Been reading. There's a brand new Black Label that just dropped on Infinite from Scott Snyder writing and Greg Capullo drawing again. So they're back together. And it's called... Shoot, Batman something. It's good so far. I wish I could tell you what it was. I don't have it in front of me, but it's very good. All right. Let's now talk about Warhammer 40K, the ultimate dystopic future. Again, that's why I like Warhammer 40K, by the way. 40,000 years in the future, big space marines, everything shot to shit. It's an amazing world. And McFarlane Toys is finally making some toys, and now everyone's losing their mind. So tell me more, Steven.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get a kick out of these. These are like $20 for, you know, their regular action figure costs, kind of what they cost these days. But in November, you can start grabbing some of the monsters from that series. The Gen Stealer figures is the one that's coming out, and McFarlane showed that off. And of course, I think if you're somebody that likes ultimate posability with your figures, then McFarlane Toys really does a really great job with that because they usually have all the points of articulation.
It's all about the articulation. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is cool. Gene Stealers are if you're familiar with 40K at all, like in the video game sense, these things are all over the video games. But I would hope that we'll get some Space Marines and some space orcs and all that stuff. Oh my gosh. This might be the first time I'd actually be like into collecting a McFarlane run of toys. I would love this. And I don't even play
a whole series of these.
Yeah. And I don't even play desktop 40K, but I love the world and the universe and the stories and stuff and the books. And
do you ever just get the urge to go and buy any 40K figures and build your own and paint them?
Sometimes. Yeah. But then I think that I need a whole extra day of the week and it doesn't exist. So I don't do it, but yeah, I wish I had time. The space orcs are amazing. They spelled with a K. They're all about having big rickety mechs. It's such a great world. Freaking, I love 40K. Anyway, so there you go. Those are coming, and watch for those. Steven, anything else going on the major spoilers network that you'd like find folks at home to just like glom onto and consume at their most earliest convenience?
Yeah, I would tell people to go check out Critical Hit. Critical Hit for the longest time for 10 plus years now.
Yeah.
For the longest time, we did Dungeons & Dragons. We've been playing a bunch of other games on the show. And for the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've been releasing Panic at the Dojo. So if you like crazy video game battles where it's, you know, just kind of fighting your opponents, go check out the Panic at the Dojo games that we have been playing on Critical Hit. You can find a link to those shows over at majorspoilers.com. And until next time, remember, everybody, stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated.
Very good.
There he goes. Into the mist goes one Steven Schleicher. Brian, I'd like to finish things out today with a mashup from Jamie.
It is Monday. We have to do it.
That's right.
Contractually obligated.
This is true. This is one of That's What She Says. He says nice. In his information, which we enjoy because often it's things we said we didn't know were gross when we said them. Mm-hmm. So enjoy, sit back and relax. Here it is.
You jam it down one hole and up the other hole, and you're welcome, Jamie,
wow,
for that.
Jamie, well, is it his birthday today, or what are we celebrating?
I know, exactly. I mean, this one may have a bunch of stuff for you, Jamie, so just enjoy it.
Why don't you go around from the rear? So I go around the rear of the dog. Yeah. And
by
she's
the way,
looking,
none of this will get used by Jamie, by the way.
None of it. Sure. It'll be fine. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be zero innuendo coming out of this. It'll be fine.
And meet up.
That's where you want your meat. You want it up. oh my gosh, this, why is this so hard? Man, that's coming fast, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
Oh yeah, that's the stuff.
Oh yeah, do you feel the hit?
I'm getting
a contact high just by being on the other end here. This is great. Keep going, keep going.
Oh yeah.
Hold on. Why is that up? She was just like in her face, just on blast. And I was like, what the? Oh, geez. And I realized what's happening and I whip it around and I'm spraying the garage. I don't know where to put it. Got on my wife's car. I got so wet, my phone stopped working for a while. Whenever we've got a big hole, we like to fill it with this.
Hey-o.
It was like 12 inches or whatever it was back then. My dad was absolutely straight when it went in. It's crooked now. Oh, very forceful end.
I started off slow and then just pushed it through.
Yeah, pushed it through.
Just jammed it right through at the end there.
Yeah, better than dick, I guess.
True.
Yeah, anything's better than that.
It looks a lot bigger than I thought it would.
I like sausage.
It starts spinning and then Spider-Man loses his virginity.
Sorry to all the ladies in the audience who just watched me do that.
Oh my lord, I don't want to think about why. All right, let's move on. There it is. Just threading that needle. Just ease it in.
Oh my god, that looks amazing. Claire sent me a picture of her box. Something that if you were to try to flush down the toilet, it might plug.
Plug it up?
Might plug it, but it would be hard to remove.
I don't like this conversation at all.
Pull out your thing and shove it back in there, will you? And then blow on it. Pull it out, blow on it.
Well, I don't mind. I don't care, because it was only half an inch last time. That's nothing.
Let's see. Skin, hair, nails. Try to find head.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, I'm trying. And that's the cards, everybody. Enjoy. Oh my gosh. That went places. Woo! Jamie.
Well done. Well done, sir.
A round of applause for Jamie. Well done. The Claire's box really got me. Nice job on that.
Yeah.
That's your fault. Okay. We're done with the show. Big thanks, everybody, for joining us. And do it again tomorrow, because we'll be back doing this again tomorrow. In the meantime, we're almost at the end of the month. That means patreon.com/TMS needs your love. Head on over there and love it. All right? That just means throw out a buck or whatever you want to do. Make it real easy.
Give it some love.
That's right. And help us grow, because we got stuff to unlock still. We have other cool benefits. And things are happening right now that you'll get in the mail. I sent something real cool to the art printers. To the art printers.
To the art printers, Batman.
Yep. And that's on its way. So lots of cool stuff. And can you imagine? I mean, $1 a month. What did we do?
And if you're already at $1, man, maybe consider bumping it up to $2. Maybe.
Yeah. And if you're at $2?
If you like $3. What you're doing, what we're doing here.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Why not all these things? So get in there, get that done. That's patreon.com/TMS. If anything else is eluding you and you're trying to track it down, you can find it all at frogpants.com/TMS. We're done. We're out of here. We need a song. What do you got?
Yeah, I got something sent in by somebody named Glitch.
Whoa.
That's how he wrote it. Glitch.
Okay.
He says, I sent an email a while back showing the approval of playing this song on your podcast. Oh, he did. Yes, I concur. And confer, not sure. Confer. Confirm.
Confirm.
I can confirm that. Yes.
Confirm. Yeah.
My wonderful wife's birthday is the 26th, but you can really play that any time this week. She won't hear it, but I want it well known in the ether how much I love her, and I'm glad our 20th anniversary will be next month with many more in the following years. Aw, nice. Congratulations, Glitch.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. So this is an indie band called the Gothsicles. And this is a cover of Prince's Delirious. Now, I want you to take this with the imagine if Weird Al Yankovic didn't do parodies but just did covers. Okay. I mean, he's done a few covers, but obviously better known for his parodies.
Yep.
This has kind of a Weird Al Yankovic feel to it, and I can't figure out if it's the vocals or what it is. But anyway, here are the Gothsicles covering Prince's Delirious. You can find it over at their Bandcamp. Again, it's the Gothsicles.
See you guys tomorrow.
Don't make it.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I could feel my butt getting sore already.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.